Friends, I am now going to begin reading from another of my books in the series Talking Books. My title is Reincarnation, Fact or Fallacy, Chapter 1, Four Major Problems. This book is written in exposition of the doctrine accepted as true by countless billions of people from the remotest time, that man evolves spiritually to perfection by means of successive lives on earth. In various forms, this belief has proved and is still proving to be a consolation and an inspiration to vast multitudes of people. The doctrine of rebirth is, therefore, well worthy of investigation. Direct spiritual perception apart, what test of verity can be applied? How may the truth or untruth of reincarnation be established? Reason and intuition may be employed, but there is also another test, that of application to certain basic problems of life, and this I endeavor to apply. The first of these problems is that of justice in human affairs, of the combined existence of apparently undeserved human suffering, especially of little children, and of divine justice. Dryden posed this question by affirming that virtue in distress and vice in triumph make atheists of mankind. Undoubtedly, the occurrence and the continuance of human suffering, for which no commensurate transgression is known, do appear to deny the existence of a principle of equity. Concerning then this first problem, Christian peoples are informed and are ready to believe that the God who reigns above and within them is a just God, and further, that his justice, whilst absolute, is yet ever tempered with mercy. God's law is said to be administered with divine tenderness for all that he has made. I quote from the Bible, "God will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And we have read also, haven't we, that God notes each sparrow's fall. Matthew 10:29. The heart answers to this belief. Instinctively, the soul of man is ready to believe in, and with reverent love to worship, a God of divine justice and compassion, an all-loving Father in heaven. Nevertheless, no one at all observant of common human experience, especially that of suffering, can deny at least the appearance of the most cruel injustice in human affairs. No thoughtful individual can long be blind, for example, to the inequalities of health and opportunity under which children are innocently and helplessly born. In this, as in so much else, one must confess to the appearance of inequity. Some children are born with healthy bodies and in happy homes where they're loved, cared for, and provided with opportunities for their happiness and progress in life. whilst millions of other children are born into conditions of the greatest difficulty. The bodies of some of them are malformed, tainted with disease. Others are born blind, deaf, dumb, apparently condemned from birth to lives of the greatest limitation, if not misery. Still, other children are born into homes of vice, poverty, dirt, and disease. They are unloved from birth, hungry, neglected, and beaten as they grow up. They start life with severe handicaps, and some of them develop into hardened criminals. Observing this one phenomenon alone, of the inequalities of birth, the mind can hardly avoid the question. If there be a God of justice, of love, and of compassion, why then does he permit the age-long and unchanging continuance of such cruel injustice? Why do millions of his children come down from heaven to earth into conditions under which health, happiness, and fulfillment are virtually impossible to them? Such, in part, is the first great problem, that of apparent injustice in the world. The second question concerns the meaning, the purpose, and the ultimate goal of human existence, if goal there be. We may brand as pessimists those who recognize the uncertainty and the apparent hopelessness and purposelessness of human life, but such branding does not answer the question to which they draw attention. For this second problem arises from the fact that for a large proportion of the human race, life is lived under the perpetual shadow of fear, resulting from the danger of financial insecurity, disease, depression, and war. The so-called pessimist has grounds for the questions. What hope is there in a life which may at any moment either be rendered insupportable or be swept away? What future can there be for a humanity which is continually decimated by war, pestilence, flood, famine, and disease? What light is there to be found in a world which is overshadowed by these dark clouds? What value or purpose can there be in such a life? The third problem is that of the existence of child prodigies, young boys and girls who display a virtuosity explainable neither by heredity nor preceding experience. And the fourth enigma is presented by the considerable number of people who claim to remember their past lives, their recollections in some cases being supported by their relation of historical facts of which they could not otherwise have become aware. Such are four of the great questions confronting mankind, to which, as a means of testing their verity, I propose to apply the doctrines of reincarnation and compensatory law.